Hi, my name is Lindsay, and just as Pastor Cassie said, I have the incredible privilege of being a part of the prayer ministry here at the Kanata campus. And I have had the privilege of praying with some of you and coming alongside of you and our prayer team as well. And it's something that, like I said, it is a privilege. But I also want to invite you to come into our prayer spaces here. On Sunday mornings, we have pre-service prayer in the cafe, and it's for everyone. So whether you've been coming for years or this is your first day here, come into this community that loves to pray together and come alongside one another. And we often say this as a prayer team, we're a church that weeps together and rejoices together. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. So consider that your invitation to join us in prayer. We would love to have you. I do want to start this morning just thanking Pastor Mitch for entrusting me with this message on scripture this morning. It's a privilege to teach from God's word. And my prayer is that God would be glorified in this meeting this morning. And I also want to thank Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori just for the extraordinary way that they make space for laymen and lay women like me to teach God's word. And not only from the platform here, but every single morning in Heartstrong. And let's give them a little round of applause. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori. I do want to say that I recognize that it's not the practice of most churches to make space like that, especially even for women. And so I want to honor them for the extraordinary way that they lead us and make space for us to grow together. Pastor Mitch always says, we thank God for leaders worth following. And we thank God for leaders worth following. Thank you. So let's just begin this morning just with an invitation. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this space and place right now. Lord, you know what each person in this room has come in with. Lord, the thoughts that are on their minds, the burdens maybe they're carrying. Lord, as we open your word together, and we explore it together, God, I pray that each person here would encounter you in such a personal way, Lord, that when they leave this place today, God, they feel encouraged. They feel convicted. Lord, they just feel a hunger to know you more and to know your word deeper in their own lives. So we just say, come, Lord, and do what only you can do today. Amen. So today we're wrapping up our summer series on the practices that help us look, love, and lead like Jesus. The teachings this summer just have been so good. If you haven't had a chance to listen to them, it's a great idea to go back and hear them. Today we're continuing to explore the practice of scripture with a focus on studying and memorizing the scriptures. Two Sundays ago, Ron preached on encountering Jesus in scripture as the living word. Last week, Nathaniel taught us the importance of meditating and obeying scripture. He talked about actually chewing on the word. And today, I'm going to be sharing about the importance of building an inner library of God's word in our hearts and in our minds to guide us through life. And I'm actually going to begin this morning by using an illustration. Imagine this. It's 12 a.m. The city is dark and silent, and you receive a coded message on your phone, and it's from a trusted contact. It reads, tonight, quietly, bring nothing that reveals your faith. You slip out of your home, careful not to wake your neighbors. Because one wrong move or one suspicious glance and you could be arrested. You take side streets to avoid cameras, and finally you reach a tiny basement apartment. The lights are off. You knock three times and then wait. The door opens a crack with a whisper. Come in quietly. Inside, 12 believers sit cross-legged on a cold concrete floor. There's no chairs. There's no Bibles in hands. Just hearts and minds filled with scripture. One person begins to softly recite Psalm 91, and others join in, barely louder than a whisper. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Another person shares a verse she memorized last week. And you talk quietly about the scriptures. You pray in low tones. Your eyes are open, watching the door. Then someone speaks. We must remember what Jesus said. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And in that moment, in this dim, damp, hidden room, you feel the presence of Holy Spirit stronger than in any cathedral. Not because of the setting, but because of your desperate dependence on Christ as you cling to these words from Scripture. For you, memorizing scripture ensures that God's word cannot be confiscated. No one can erase the hope of God's word stored in your memory. There are millions of believers around the world who gather together in this way, risking their lives to share God's word together. The World Watch List from 2024 recorded that over 350 million Christians face high-level persecution for their faith in Jesus. Believers in these countries memorize portions of Scripture far beyond what most of us do. And very often, it's from torn Bible pages that are passed hand to hand, or from smuggled handwritten notes, or from one believer verbally reciting it to another. I read a story this week of a believer in a prison that shared that they pass verses on tiny scraps of paper, memorize them quickly, then destroy the paper to avoid detection. He said they can take the paper, but they can't take what's been hidden in my heart. No one can erase the hope of God's word stored in your heart. The author of Psalm 119 said that too. He wrote in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Other translations use the words, I have stored up your word in my heart. In my own words, God, I have deeply internalized what you have said in your word, so that whatever comes my way, good or bad, my thoughts, actions, and choices will stay true to you. As I was preparing for this message, I felt really convicted. And I was asking myself, if it became illegal for me to own a Bible, or to gather together with you to read his word. How much of God's word do I have stored up in my heart and in my mind? How much of God's word do you have stored up in your heart and in your mind? The reality for us here today is that we have access to every version of the Bible. Some of us have several printed copies in our homes even. Study Bibles, devotional Bibles, life application Bibles. We have the Bible app on our phones so we can quickly pull up any verse in any translation at any time that we want. And if that doesn't work for us, Google is just a tap away. And we can just quickly Google scriptures to calm anxiety or scriptures that speak of God's provision. And we instantly have a list of verses from Genesis to Revelation that speak of the topic that we're searching for. So the question for us here today is it still important for us to memorize and study God's word when we can access it so easily? If we want to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did, then yes, Jesus shows us that memorizing scripture is important. He memorized scripture. Jesus himself had an inner library of passages that he came back to when he was under pressure. Many times across the four Gospels, we see him quote Old Testament scripture. So if we think about this for a moment, Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, memorized scripture. And he didn't just quote it occasionally, he lived by it. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't argue with the devil using clever logic or even grand signs and wonders. He responded three times with the same phrase, "It is written." It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We can read that in Matthew 4. When Jesus said, it is written, he's essentially saying, listen here, Satan, God has already spoken, and that settles it for me. God's word isn't just true, it's the final word. It's the better word. Jesus had those words ready because he had memorized them. He had hidden them deep in his heart. And even though we may not face the devil in the same way Jesus did in the wilderness, and we may not be facing death every time we gather together to read God's word like the persecuted church does, every single one of us in this room today will face temptations, doubts, fear, trials of many kinds, suffering, and victory too. And success. But when these moments come, do we have God's word embedded in our hearts? Do we know what God's word says about the human experience and how we are to face these things? Has anyone here ever played Bible roulette before? It's like spinning the wheel and then reading whatever verses your eyes land on. You know, cracking open the Bible and just closing your eyes and putting your finger here and saying, this is the word from the Lord for me. I've totally done this. You know, I have been desperate for a word from God. And I've just said, God, please speak to me. I need to hear your voice in this. And I just crack open the Bible and I see where it is that I land. And if it's Leviticus, I just close it again and start over. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with doing this. There's nothing wrong with doing this. In fact, God has definitely ministered to me in this way. But the problem comes when this is how we consistently read the Bible. When we just crack it open and read a few verses. Because we're losing the context. Context allows us to see themes, patterns, and even the big picture of God's story across Scripture. So many truths in the Bible unfold more clearly when we can see how a verse fits into a broader passage, chapter, or book. And this is why HeartStrong has been so amazing, because we're studying the entirety of the Scriptures in context. If we don't know who's talking, or who they're talking to, or why, we risk misinterpreting it. And misreading it can actually cause harm, like slave owners twisting it to justify slavery. In fact, Jesus corrected misreadings in Matthew chapter 5, saying, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." So yes, absolutely. Let's open the Bible and just let the Spirit lead. But we also need to read it fully and in its context. Now, memorizing Scripture takes our study even deeper, storing it in our hearts. Do you remember how Jesus on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was a remez, which was a rabbinic practice where quoting a line from Scripture actually evokes the whole passage. Psalm 22 describes rejection, pierced hands, and lots cast for cloths, which was exactly Jesus' experience. And this psalm ends in hope. Jesus drew on his inner library of Scripture literally to face death and to signal hope. As I was thinking about the importance of studying and memorizing the Scripture, the Lord reminded me that the Pharisees in Jesus' day studied, memorized, and even taught the Scriptures. They had a library stored in their minds. Yet when Jesus stood before them, many of them rejected him. They didn't even recognize him. Imagine that. They knew the Scriptures back to front and front to back. And when the Word made flesh stood before them, they didn't even recognize him. How could that happen? Because they had the words stored in their minds, but not written in their hearts. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39. "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." They knew the Scriptures, but missed the Savior. I've heard it said this way: you can know the Word of God and still miss the God of the Word. The truth is, it is possible to know Scripture and yet still have a hardened heart. Isaiah verse 29:13, which Jesus also quoted, says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." When we memorize scripture, we should come with humility and a deep, true desire for more of God, not to perform. It can be easy to turn spiritual disciplines into spiritual achievements. But God wants surrendered hearts, not spiritual medals. The reason we hide God's word in our heart is so that he can reshape us. He can reshape our hearts, often broken and hard. He can reshape our thoughts, often negative and hurtful, harmful. He can reshape our responses to the people and the world around us. Many of the Pharisees in Jesus' day were memorizing scriptures to look more godly, but that shouldn't be our motivation. We're memorizing scripture to become more like Jesus. Just like a child memorizes and knows the voice of a loving parent, we're learning God's word, his scriptures, to know him better. We study and memorize scripture to hear God's voice. The scriptures are the primary way that God speaks to us. When we have verses stored in our memory banks and in our hearts, the Holy Spirit is able to call them to our minds when we need them. Because the Bible isn't just a book. It's God's voice speaking through words that are living and active. Just as Ron shared a couple Sundays ago, how many of us have said, oh, I just wish I could hear God's voice speaking to me about this situation that I'm going through in life. The truth is, he does have something to say about it, and we can find it in his word. We memorize scripture to renew our minds. Nathaniel shared last week that the world is constantly trying to shape how we think through culture, through media, through fear, pride, comparison, lies. There's a battle not only for our soul, but for our mind as well. The battlefield is in the mind. And Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So many studies show that our thought patterns literally can shape our lives. And when our thoughts don't align with God's word, we can use scripture to confront and replace these lies. Reading the scriptures regularly and storing them in our minds and hearts is like detoxing our minds and filling them with God's truth, with God's hope, with God's peace. And when we meditate, study, and memorize scripture, our thought life will reflect God's truth rather than the world's noise. If you have intrusive thoughts that overwhelm you, memorize a scripture that speaks to the truth of what God's word says about it. If you have these thoughts, God will never forgive me for this sin. God's word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. If you have thoughts that say, I am so alone in this life, God's word says, I will never, never leave you or forsake you. And if you are overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, God's word says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If our minds aren't renewed by the truth of God's word, then they will be shaped by whatever else is the loudest around us. We memorize scripture to resist temptation. Everyone is tempted, and there are no exceptions. As we read today, even Jesus himself was tempted. And when temptation comes, we don't always have time to look up a verse. But if it's stored in our heart, it's ready to go. We go back to that example of Jesus in the wilderness when he faced temptation. His response was, "It is written." He didn't pull out a scroll, and he didn't have Google to do a quick search. He had the word stored in his heart to stand against the enemy. And the crazy thing is, I find, when I read this chapter, is that when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4, he also quoted scripture, but out of context. He misapplied it for his own evil purposes. Listen to this. Matthew 4, verse 6. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Even Satan knew scripture. He's quoting Psalm 91 here. And Jesus' response, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test," in context. Temptation always involves some form of deception because it comes from the father of lies. And in fact, Satan uses the illusion of freedom to lead us into slavery. He loves to promise us all kinds of freedom without any boundaries, all kinds of pleasure without any consequences, all kinds of control without surrender, and even identity outside of God, which all lead to bondage. And this is why we need to study and memorize the Word of God to know the truth of who God is. And not only that, to know the truth of who you are and who I am in Him. And then we use that truth to stand against the lies. We memorize Scripture so we can endure through suffering. Sometimes pain can leave us speechless. Have you ever gone through something so painful that you could barely breathe, let alone pray or read God's word? In those moments when you can't find the words, if you've stored them in your heart, His words will find you. His words will find you. God's word, this is so beautiful. This is so powerful. God's word can give us language when we don't have the words to pray or we can't make sense of what is going on. In session 4 of the scripture practice from Practicing the Way, there's a really powerful testimony about a man whose mother, wife, and daughter were killed by a drunk driver in a head-on collision. His name is Gerald Sitzer. And he was actually also in the car with them. His daughter died in his arms on the side of the road. After the accident, he was so traumatized, he said he couldn't pray. But before the accident, he had memorized 30 Psalms. And he told John Mark Comer that on his way to the hospital, these Psalms just kicked in. He began to pray them. He didn't even have to will it. They began bubbling up out of him. They were there in his mind. They were there in his heart. God's word found him in the midst of his darkest moment. You know, the reality is for us, it's very hard for us to comfort ourselves in suffering in real time, isn't it? That's why we need to have God's word in us beforehand. We see it with Jesus on the cross when he was under pressure, giving his life for you and for me, squeezed out in his human form. It was scripture that came out of his mouth. He drew on his inner library. In my own life, when my daughter was only 4 years old, she received a diagnosis that was really scary for us. And she was just about to start kindergarten. This is almost 16 years ago now. I wrote out scripture after scripture on index cards. And I would just continue to speak them out, to memorize them, and to pray them over her when she was awake and when she was sleeping. And when fear would overwhelm me, I would call these scriptures to my mind, and they brought me so much comfort and hope. I still have them almost 16 years later, and that's my tear stains running down that card. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, I should put my hope in God and keep praising him, my Savior and my God. I should put my hope in God and keep praising him, my Savior and my God. It's an amazing testimony, hers is, for another day. But God worked out a miracle in her life, and to this day, she hasn't needed any serious medical interventions. And it's been many years since she's ever even needed a follow-up appointment. You know, the scriptures remind us that our God is a miracle-working God. He is a promise-keeping God. He is a way-making God. He is a redeeming God. He is a restoring God. He is a forgiving God. He is a saving God. Our hope is in him. Whatever comes our way. Can I say that to you? I want to encourage you with that today. Because on the way into church this morning, I just felt so strongly that there would be someone in this church today that it was very hard for you to even get here. That you are sitting in the church and it took all of your strength emotionally, physically, even spiritually, to be sitting where you are today. I pray, I'm so happy that you're here. I am so happy that you're here. You're welcome here. And I pray that God's word would just speak life into whatever it is you are going through, hope into whatever it is that you're going through. Expectant faith that whatever things are, whatever they're like right now, whatever is coming this week in your life, that you can put your hope in God. I will put my hope in God and keep praising him. My God, the one in whom I trust. As we wrap up this morning, I just really want you to feel encouraged. If right now you are feeling any form of guilt or shame or even discouragement with yourself because you're recognizing that your inner library isn't what you want it to be, that's not what the Lord wants for you. Don't receive that. I do hope, though, that each and every one of us feels convicted and encouraged as we leave this place to treasure God's word more. And to hide it in our hearts. Let's be encouraged together to take another step towards studying God's word and memorizing it. Maybe this is the season. We're in season 7. Like, that sounds like a great season to jump into HeartStrong. And like, come along with us on this journey of studying God's word from Genesis to Revelation. It's such a great, I've been there since the beginning, and we actually call ourselves a family. And I mean, if you want to roll out of bed and like still have your pajamas on, like people do that. Like you can come in at 6 with your Bible and PJs and coffee and we will love that. You know, it's just such a great community to be a part of. And if 6 a.m. is not really your time of the day, there's an 8 p.m. group. Or you can even rewatch the recordings on demand. Or you can listen on the podcast, driving in your car to work or home. We just would love it. We would love it if you came alongside us in this journey together. Or like Cassie said, maybe this is the year to sign up for Life Center School of the Bible and just start with one course. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try one course. I graduated from LSB a few years ago, and it was an amazing experience. It really did change the way I read the Bible, understood the Bible. But what I love most about it is it's the space to ask questions about the Bible and kind of wrestle some things through together because, you know, we don't all have the answers. And there's some things that will forever remain a mystery on this side of heaven. But it's a place where we can really, like, grow together. Or maybe you are here this morning and faith in Christ is all brand new. Maybe this is your first day here and we would love to meet you. We'd love to celebrate that with you. Maybe you're just starting on this journey of faith. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one. Just come up after the service and myself or Liz, who's on prayer this morning, would love to give you a Bible so you can begin your storing God's word, reading God's word. We just start with the right heart. Lord, as I open this Bible, help me to understand what I'm reading. Speak to me through these pages. Guide me. Correct me. Draw me closer to you. Lord, let your word come alive in my heart and change the way I think, live, and love. Let's approach studying and memorizing God's word like a relationship that we're deepening, not as a religious task that we're checking off. And if you've never memorized a verse before, start with a focus. Start by picking a short, powerful verse that speaks to right where you are at in your life right now. We start by starting. We start by starting. I love that verse in Zechariah 4 that says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord loves to see it begin. For the Lord loves to see it begin. For the Lord loves to see it begin." Amen. 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 Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can freely gather together in this place and read your word and share your word. Lord, we thank you, God, for that. Lord, we pray that in each and every one of our lives, you would give us a hunger for your word. And Lord, even if it feels like nothing is changing right off the bat, God, that we would be people who persevere, God. We would go again and again and again back to your word, Lord, storing it in our hearts and in our minds, oh God. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who read your word and gather at a great, great cost. Lord, we're humbled by the way they store your word in their heart. God, we pray that you would hide them under the shelter of your wing. Lord God, that you would just make yourself known to them in just powerful ways. Lord, as each and every one of us go, God, let us go encouraged, Lord, to just start by starting to treasure your word in our heart. Amen.